NFL 2023, where touchdowns are optional. Bears still somehow getting a win last night. We'll talk about that. Also, it's been a minute. LeBron, all-time record for minutes. Also, Dak's MVP case. And when grandma watches her two grandsons play each other and fight. Let's go around the horn. What are my boys doing out there? The Kachucks are approaching the first family of hockey, at least currently. Grandma is up there taking in the festivities. We'll get to that later. Bears 12, Vikings 10. Chicago winning a game without scoring a touchdown. Minnesota broken by the four Josh Dobbs interceptions. Justin Fields gets credited with a game-winning drive after surviving the fumble a couple possessions earlier for the game-winning field goal late. But again, no touchdowns for Chicago in the win. So Tim Kalishaw, sometimes you're allergic to scoring on this show. Takeaway from Chicago's win over Minnesota last night.
Thank you for asking me, Tony. I'd like to go over each of the scoring drives. The Bears kicked the field goal. The Vikings kicked the field goal. Halftime came.
Yes.
Okay, that's enough of that. This was two teams in search of a quarterback. And I mean two teams. And I'm starting with the Bears because Justin Fields is at least the guy that's supposed to be the quarterback. And he really should have lost the game when he fumbled with 2.5 minutes to go. That was a bad fumble. He should have seen that defender coming. Wasn't like a blind shot where somebody strips the ball away. And if the Vikings could have just got one first down or even moved the ball maybe 8 yards and kicked the field goal and had a 4-point lead instead of a 1-point lead, that would have been the game. So he really got bailed out by the Bears defense and the ineptitude of Dobbs. I think the clock has run out on that experiment. And Kirk Cousins, again, seems more valuable than ever. Give him $50 million to bring him back.
All right. Marcel Louis-Jacques, you have a takeaway from last night?
Yeah, Vikings coach Kevin O'Connell said Josh Dobbs almost didn't make it out of last night's game, and that makes two of us because I almost didn't make it out of that display either. Look, not to sound like a clairvoyant pessimist, but we knew the Josh Dobbs bubble was going to burst eventually. This is his seventh year in the NFL. You don't just magically pop up and become an average starter or a replacement level elite starter after 7 years. We knew that was going to happen.
Fan phrase from Mr. Louis-Jacques. We'll get back to him. George Sedano, a takeaway from last night.
Tony, the micro is this. The Vikings had that game to win, and honestly, I'm going to put it at the feet of Brian Flores. If you look at the way they blitzed Justin Fields earlier in that game, every time they blitzed him, Fields was terrible. When they didn't blitz him, he was able to complete passes. And in the last drive, they didn't blitz him. I didn't understand the logic to that. But the macro is neither of these teams are very good, okay? I know the Vikings made a little bit of a surge and the Dobbs situation was cool. But yes, Dobbs is who he is. He's a good player in the sense of he's decent as a backup at times. But this is who he is mostly. It's why he doesn't have a starting position in this league. Ultimately, though, with Justin Fields, I think if you're the Bears, man, you had four turnovers go your way, and this is how you win the game? Like, it's amazing to me how you look at this and you say to yourself, you know what, maybe for Justin Fields' sake, it's best if they do move on, because he can go somewhere where he can get good coaching that can help his progression along, and the Bears could then draft a quarterback that they feel is more ready to insert with this team right away.
David Dennis Jr., you have a takeaway from last night?
My takeaway is I would like to take this game away from my memory. This is just another one of
Everybody's
the bad games that we have seen this season. And I feel like we're just piling up a lot of terrible games. There was that Giants-Jets game. There was a Broncos-Bears game. There's this game. There's so much bad play. I don't know if it's the schedule and the injuries or something, but we are watching a whole lot of bad football, and something needs to be done about that. Now, in terms of the Bears, that fan base, you know, is sort of hanging their hat on a high draft pick and maybe Caleb Williams and another person will come in and save that squad. But they have structural issues that they need to figure out from top to bottom beyond just Justin Fields. They have a head coach who should be better served as a defensive coordinator and an offensive coordinator who shouldn't be coordinating any offense. 2.7 air yards for Justin Fields, who can do better than that. That is inexcusable from that staff. They need an upheaval before they get those players to figure out how they're going to move in their future.
Marcel Louis-Jacques, back in.
all right, let me shake a couple of bits of rust off. But this is why, for the Vikings, this is why you brought Nick Mullins in, right, to be your quarterback if your starter gets hurt. Nick Mullins is healthy. It is time to make that change. Josh Dobbs was always the emergency option. And when it comes to the Bears, yeah, you are banking a lot off of these two top 10 picks. So you better be 100% in on Matt Eberflus, because you are never going to be this asset rich again with this type of talent coming out of the NFL draft. So this is a pitiful offseason. It's going to be hard to pass on a guy like Caleb Williams or even Drake May when Justin Fields has not taken that next step in his career.
Anybody buying what David was selling, that it's a down year for the NFL, that there's some bad offenses out there? Tim Kalishaw?
It's not down in Dallas when the Cowboys are home.
Oh, yes, how do you do it? It's not down in Philadelphia.
There's some shaky quarterback play around the league. Tommy DeVito's had some rough moments, although now he's
multiple wins. Hey, watch yourself. Oh, oh, George Sedano. Are you willing to call this a down year? Is there such a thing for the NFL?
No, Tony, there's ebbs and flows to every sport. There's going to be years where there's going to be great quarterback play and years where there's not. And there's going to be a new influx of talent coming in at that position. And I think that's what drives interest and, I guess, excitement in this
league. Marcel?
I don't know. I cover a team that scored 70 points in one game. So it's hard for me to say that offense is down.
I don't know what the rest of you plebs have to do.
It's not his fault.
I don't know. I can't speak for anybody else.
And you did go on TV and say this could be the best offense of all time. Hasn't looked exactly like that since then.
That's
true. But it's great to have you back, Marcel. Marcel was stranded in Germany for about 3 days after they had their game. And this is the first time we're seeing him since then. So points for going out the passport and getting back. We'll move on. 66,319 minutes. Not in one game. That would be a record. But this is also a record. No one has ever played more minutes of NBA basketball than LeBron James. Set the record last night, breaking Kareem's. Set in a 44-point loss to Philadelphia, the worst loss of his career. Oof. Afterwards, he said they need to make changes, quote, a lot of changes, end quote. George, how significant is the all-time minutes record and what LeBron said after the game?
Tony, I've had enough of these conversations over the years with LeBron in these post-game scenarios where I ask him about, like, hey, what does it feel like to break this record now? And he kind of always downplays it. I'm not saying he doesn't care about it, but what he cares about is the situation at hand. And the situation at hand is he's clearly not happy with the way his team is trending at the moment. And if you look at the way they're playing, outside of LeBron and Anthony Davis most nights, the rest of that group has not played very well. Now, granted, they have tradable contracts, but those guys haven't lived up to the billing. They're a minus team. I believe minus 3.3 when D'Angelo Russell is on the floor. Austin Reeves has been very up and down this season after playing through the summer and having a new contract. Rui Hachimura has not lived up to his new contract. So there's a lot of questions about the supporting cast with the Lakers. And when I think he says a lot, I think he starts looking around the locker room and saying, maybe we do need to make more changes. Maybe bringing everybody back was not the right move in this particular
David Dennis Jr.?
I mean, let's start with the minutes. It's impressive. It's not as impressive as Tim Kalishaw leading the around-the-horn minutes all time, so congratulations to him. I think that's a real thing. But in terms of the post-game comments, Tony, we are in what is called the LeBron James calendar of passive aggressiveness, and it starts right here in November.
Here we go.
And he says that we need a lot of work. And then by February, by the trade deadline, by All-Star weekend, he says, hey, another coach over there, they might be good. I might start going over there. And then the season's over, and then they don't do as well as they necessarily do, and they make a bunch of trades, and they say, hey, this is the team that we need going into the next season.
All right.
The next season starts, they underperform, and we're right back here where he says they need a lot of changes. It is the LeBron James calendar of passive aggressiveness. We are in phase one.
Tim Kalishaw.
I might be the leader in minutes. I forgot to bring props. I don't know how I was remiss on this front. Is this even a record, though? Minutes played regular season and playoffs? I don't know that anyone knew this record actually existed before they started asking LeBron about it. I look at the Lakers like about 12 other teams in the West. They could all be playing better, except for Minnesota, which they're not going to play that well for all season long. But they're 10-8. They're not playing badly. They had a start where they played a lot of good teams and played most of them on the road. I don't think the Lakers are in. If we remember, they barely made the playoffs before they went to the Western Conference Finals. They had to play hard to get into those play-in games, and then they started going up the ladder. So really just getting in is the whole thing for that team.
And Marcel Louis-Jacques.
Yeah, my props got confiscated in Frankfurt. But LeBron seems like kind of an emotional response to a rightfully blowout loss. They had won. They've won four of their last six games. So it's not like the sky is falling in Los Angeles. But if when he says a lot of changes need to be made, like, how mad can he be? Nothing's moving in Los Angeles without LeBron's say-so. So is he talking to himself? Is he looking in the mirror here? Because this is the team that you've built. Like, they're clearly missing a third star. Like George said, they have these tradable contracts, but they need to make something happen, because when you look at the rest of the Western Conference, they are going to lap LeBron and the Lakers come playoff time, especially if Anthony Davis cannot be a reliable second option throughout the course of the season.
George Jenner back in. That's what.
So, Tony, I do want to mention about Anthony Davis. If you look at his defensive metrics, they've been incredible. Granted, he did get beat up yesterday by Joel Embiid, but most people do. But ultimately, it's the offensive aspect of this where they need Anthony Davis to be the guy we saw when LeBron was injured last season. That's the Anthony Davis they need when LeBron is on the floor if they want to be a championship-level team.
Tim, I'm with you. I thought, yo, Marcel, big face here. I see what's happening over there. There we go. Tim, I'm with you that I never heard the minutes record before. Do you know the game's played record? Anyone know? First, LeBron is not, well, be first in minutes, not first in games played. Anyone know the record holder for games played NBA history? Give you a bonus point.
Carmelo.
Incorrect. Robert Parrish. Nobody's getting a point. You're all getting mutes for that. Cheap. Fire still next.
The Horn is presented by Bullet Frontier Whiskey. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. And in part by the Subaru Share the Love event. Now through January 2nd.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
And yet, now, Dak Prescott from one of those teams that there's no struggle this season. His MVP candidacy, of course, legitimate. He's saying he's not really thinking about it, though. He's in for a big team goal, told Skylar Dixon of the AP. The goal is to stack wins. About Dallas's wins, strength of schedule, strength of victory so far this year. Easiest schedule by wide margin. The only team whose opponents are under 400 win percentage, and the SOV strength of victory barely over 300. It gets a lot more difficult going forward. Timmy, buy or sell Prescott's MVP case.
Yeah, he's basically laid the foundation, not against some of the greatest teams, although he played really well in the Philadelphia loss. The team made a big transformation after the bye week, changed their offense, got some more motion going, and is doing more things. I still think it's going to be Jalen Hurts MVP to lose if he's going to make those plays like he did at the end of the Buffalo game and the Eagles end up with the
George
best
George Sedano.
Tony, there's a reason in Vegas they have all those tall, beautiful buildings. It's because they suck in Cowboy fans. 3 weeks ago, before wins against the Commanders, Giants, and the Carolina Panthers, Dak Prescott was 60-1 to win the MVP. He's 7-1 now. So what Cowboy fans think is, oh, we got a chance. And you know what? You should listen to Dak because he's basically telling you he doesn't really have a chance.
But you're putting stock then in the opponents he's played and the success he's had, because he's on a great run over the last month and a half. Marcel Louis-Jacques, how do you take his candidacy for MVP?
His candidacy? Yeah, absolutely. He should be in. He should be mentioned among MVP candidates. Is he the favorite? Probably not, but he's got games against Philadelphia, Buffalo, and Miami coming up at this last month of the season. How he performs in that should go a long way toward who he actually, you know, where he actually lands in the award race. But they're finally treating him like a quarterback who can be the reason why they win games, not a high-end game manager while they ground and pound. Shout out to Mike McCartney for making that adjustment, because entering the season, the whole plan was to run. But either way, I think Tyreek Hill is the MVP if he hits 2K, man. You got to respect
this. Ordering off menu, a non-quarterback in the NFL winning the MVP.
It's about time.
Is that allowed? Yeah. David Dennis Jr.
Absolutely selling this. He's not even the top MVP candidate in his own division. We're talking about what he did in four of the last 5 weeks, 300 yards, 115 passer rating against teams that were combined 8-4-30. We're talking about the entire season here. They got smacked by the 49ers. They lost to Philadelphia. And Jalen Hurts, at that chart you showed with the standings, that's the guy who's quarterbacking the team at the top, who's second in the league in rushing yards. You just had 5 touchdowns last week. There's no way Dak Prescott is anywhere near him in the MVP race.
Okay.
Right,
although you were just bemoaning that nobody plays good football anymore, the football that the Cowboys have played over the last month, you're bemoaning the quarterback position. He's played it very well over the last month and a half. We mentioned MVP last time, a non-quarterback won MVP. Another bonus point, free for you guys. Who was it?
Adrian Peterson.
Everybody had Adrian. Oh, not Derek. Adrian Peterson. I heard Kalashaw. I think I heard David and Marcel. We'll move on. Buy or sell to Deion Sanders on recruiting.
A kid ain't even faithful to his girlfriend. You think he gonna be faithful to a school? You know, what I wish the NCAA would do, honestly, if you're committed to somewhere, you can't go to no other visits.
Three top recruits decommitting from Colorado just this past week as the Buffalo season went down the tubes and splattered out, losing 8 of 9. David, buy or sell this being a big problem for Sanders?
I'm buying this as a huge problem for Deion Sanders. Look, he can hang his hat on a lot of successes that he's had since he started coaching. The win-loss record at Jackson State, the awareness he brought to different schools, what he's done in terms of NIL and transfer portals. What we cannot hang his hat on is the idea of loyalty, because this guy bolted from Jackson State at the first opportunity at the middle of his contract, and 50 or so players that he brought to Colorado were in that transfer portal. So he has built his legacy and what he has based on players doing the exact same thing that he is now bemoaning because it is not beneficial to him. So you cannot go out there and be that type of hypocrite and expect for people to have your back.
Marcel Louis-Jacques.
Hey, look, if your girlfriend can go to a bar and be picked up, she was not your girlfriend. Be confident in the product that you're selling, Deion. If you've got to commit, if you get the kids who you know are going to stay. Like, be confident in yourself. And the rule about, you know, if you can't take visits unless you commit, where's the line draw? What if there's a coaching change? What if there's a death in the family? What if something happens in their personal life? We've already seen the NCAA is incapable of making nuanced decisions, so it just opens the door for a lot of messy situations and a lot of players who are at a school they don't want to be at.
George Sedano.
Tony, having been involved in college football now for the last couple years, kids are more informed than they've ever been. Why? And I know some people bemoan this, but it's because they have agents involved with NIL helping making them decisions. Parents are more involved. Parents are more informed because the internet allows you to be more informed about said situations. And Colorado has a ceiling, and I think that he's starting to learn that very quickly, that it's not going to change overnight. And ultimately, he should know. It's signed, sealed, and delivered. Signed, sealed, delivered on the contract. If you don't have that, it doesn't matter.
I mean, I think George hit on the main point. There's a lot involved in recruiting now that wasn't there a few years ago. Which schools were prepared to have their alumni start shelling out millions in NIL money and collectives? Colorado would not have been at the top of that list, but they're history. And so there's a lot more than just the appeal or the allure of Deion to get a kid to go to school to make things work for Colorado.
Marcel, you said a lot of things can change when a player commits and then decommits, and you talked about real life stuff. Or that program could lose 8 of 9. That's another thing that could happen here. I had a panel that looked a little bit like this panel when they were 3-0, telling me the takeover was complete. They didn't need to win. You didn't have to have wins. America thought a little bit different, but that 3-0 and everything was going to be great. Well, not how it finished up for Deion Sanders. It's how it finishes up now for Marcel and George. Kalashaw, Dennis, showdown next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Around the Horn is presented by Bullet Frontier Whiskey. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Kalashaw, Dennis, good luck in showdown. College football story of the day yesterday was a hiring of Mike Elko by Texas A&M. And here's Coach Sway to the Aggie, wore him. Some were wondering whether he's got the sway right, whether he's got the lyrics right. Today, college news of the day from Arkansas. Pete Thamel of ESPN reporting. Arkansas is vetting the hiring of a new OC, and that new OC is Bobby Petrino, who some may recall was their old coach who was fired after this. Tim Kalashaw, what's the better look?
I'm going to go with the better look being the swaying. I'd like to see Elko really buy into it a little more. This was something I really enjoyed when I was a student visiting A&M. He's just kind of going back and forth.
David Dennis Jr. There.
The Petrino thing is inexcusable, so that's definitely the worst look. Shout out to the Sway. I've never seen anybody swag surf from the 1-3 before, but at least their heart's in it for the most part.
Vetting a coach you already had and you fired, and if you have Google, you see this image come up immediately. What's the
second
need for
chances? Vets? Second chances.
Maybe, but maybe not. Use a different word than vetting. I don't think we need to vet. We'll move on. Grandma now, not thrilled with the grandsons in the Panthers-Sens game. This is the Kachuk brothers matchup, Brady and Matthew. There was a lot of fighting, and Grandma took it all in. David, who you got? Matthew Kachuk, Brady Kachuk, or Grandma Jerry Kachuk?
I feel for Grandma Kachuk. I feel like they didn't tell her that they play hockey. Like, she thought that they were lawyers and they were coming to her job until she saw them fighting last night.
Come on now. Go ahead, Tim.
I'm going with Grandma. I think she knew. I think she's seen them skate around in the pond in the backyard. She hadn't seen them drop the gloves, but she was ready to go down to the ice by the end of that.
She's seen more hockey than all of us combined. She birthed a hockey great. She's got two grants in hockey. Tim Kalashaw, take the FaceTime.
Oh, thank you, Tony. This is usually the part of the show I talk about myself or maybe my book, Drunk on Sports, still available. I'm going to talk about a different book, The Movement Made Us by David Dennis Jr. It's a great book I read a week ago about his father, the freedom rider, who left college in New Orleans, went to Mississippi. It's a father and son tale, a human story. Everybody, The Movement Made Us, David Dennis Jr., right there.
Oh, my gosh.
How about that? Let's see you tomorrow.
You're going to make me cry.